Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon, and thank you again, Ewald, for this wonderful slide. Running with Horses, based on Jeremiah 12, especially the fifth verse, when God says to Jeremiah, "If you have run with men on foot, and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?" I especially encourage you to open up your handout today and follow the sermon outline as we consider our theme, running with horses. Well, it goes without saying, most people in our congregation know how much I love distance running. After my days of playing American University soccer, American University baseball were done, and I got older, I needed a sport to keep me active, to keep me outside, to keep me in shape, and I thank God for running. I've been running now faithfully for 32 years, half of my life. Now, my days of competitive running are far behind me. But I still find great joy in my daily routine of morning after morning, running kilometer after kilometer. It makes my entire day go well. And woe be unto me, or woe be unto my wife Beverly, where are you? Woe be unto my wife Beverly if I miss a day of running, right? Right. For all its joys, though, and you could ask Judy Hoos, who's a much more faithful runner than I, running also has its challenges. There's a price to pay to keep on running. Getting up early instead of sleeping in a couple more hours. A few overuse injuries, and I've had my share. And now as I'm creeping up on my older years, I wear a brace on my knee because old man arthritis has made a home in my knee. And then there are constantly people who literally laugh and make fun. "Why are you running? What a stupid thing to do." But running is the theme of today's Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 12. Listen again to these words of God to the young prophet Jeremiah. "Jeremiah, if you've run with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?" One more time. "Jeremiah, if you've run with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?" Horses. From this text then comes the central message for today, running with horses. God had chosen Jeremiah to be his prophet. Jeremiah prophesied to Judah and Israel before the Babylonian captivity, and he predicted dark days ahead with no relief for Jerusalem and Judah. But the people did not like what he had to say. And because there was no immediate fulfillment of his words, the people despised him and didn't think he was much of a prophet. They hated Jeremiah the prophet. He became disillusioned. He questioned God's call to service in the place where he was serving. In the pages of the book bearing his name, Jeremiah is seen as a man of God who's despondent, alone, and he thought of himself as a failure. I've had those same feelings in my ministry. Jeremiah wanted to run away. But instead, he ran to God. He put his ministry on trial before God. He invited God into a heavenly courtroom and said, "Let me put you, God, in my ministry on trial." And God, in an act of infinite mercy and patience, allowed Jeremiah to state his case. Listen to now to Jeremiah chapter 12 and his case against God. Jeremiah 12, 1. "You'll be in the right, O Lord, when I lay charges against you. But let me put my case to you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous survive?" Have you ever asked that question? Why do the evil people get along so well and easy in life? Why do God's righteous people so often have a problem? Can't you just hear Jeremiah? "Just look at me, Lord. I do everything you tell me to do. I preach the message you tell me to preach, but the people still hate me, and they're doing just fine." God doesn't answer. God is silent. Then Jeremiah continues to state his case. Verse 12, "You plant them, O Lord, and they take root. They grow and they bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouths, but far from their hearts." Basically, Jeremiah says, those people of yours say, thank God, but in their hearts, O Lord, they don't really acknowledge you. These people are more interested in a feel-good religion than a real relationship with you. In modern times, in modern words, Jeremiah could be saying this, Lord, those people of yours substitute football for fellowship. They substitute golf for grace. They'd rather have brunch than blessings. Go get them, Lord. Go get them. God doesn't answer. God is silent. Jeremiah continues his case. Verse 3, "But you, O Lord, know me. My heart is with you, but pull them off like sheep for the slaughter. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." Jeremiah forgot that God will judge all people. He forgot that God doesn't need his help, and God doesn't need our help setting the punishment for others. Feeling the burden of ministry, and I can understand, Jeremiah grew tired of God's people not doing what they should be doing. He grew tired of spiritually lazy people. He asked God to go get them. Take them like lambs to the slaughterhouse. And let me tell you that pastors and church leaders and others in authority in a congregation are tempted to do the same thing and feel the same thing when people, especially church members, don't respond like the way we think they should. And Brother Jeremiah keeps on complaining. Verse 4, "How long will the land mourn? How long will the grass of the field wither? Because those who lie in it are wicked. Even the birds and the animals are swept away." My goodness, Jeremiah is really on a roll now with his complaining. Jeremiah even brings in ecological justice. He says, "Dear God, even the birds and the animals are dying because of these sinful people. When are you going to deal with them, Lord?" And now finally, God answers Jeremiah. God answers Jeremiah with the question, verse 5, "If you've run with men on foot and they have worn you out, how will you compete with horses?" Jeremiah's complaints come from a sense of profound weariness. The kind of weariness we all have experienced in our lives when your lives seem out of control. When no matter what you've done, things seem to get worse and not get better. You know that feeling, whether at work or at home or at church. Jeremiah was hurting. He felt rejected by those he was called to serve. Jeremiah needed comfort from God. Jeremiah needed to hear from God that it was all going to get better. But God answers with a shocker. The work, Jeremiah, has just begun. It's going to get harder before it gets better. In verse 5 again, "If you've run with men on foot and they've worn you out, how will you compete with horses?" Can you imagine if you'd come to God and ask for help and God basically said, "Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet." Here, God signals the reality of being a true child of God in a world that hates God and hates His church and hates the gospel. We were talking about that in Bible class today as we studied Psalm 2. Psalm 2 begins by saying, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot against God and His anointed?" Because they don't want to hear the truth of God's word. God says to Jeremiah, they don't want to hear God's word proclaimed. And Jeremiah, if running with people that are like you have worn you out, what are you going to do when you have to compete with horses when things get real tough? God says to Jeremiah, God says to you and me, if you think being a child of God today and being my spokesman is an easy thing, let me tell you, there are no quick fixes. There are no easy solutions. God tells Jeremiah and tells us that being a child of God, being a prophet of God, would include work and pain and faithfulness. It would be like a long-distance run with horses, and you just try to keep up on your own strength. You can't do it. God says to Jeremiah, "My son, if you've run with people who are pretty much like you in your daily life, and they have tired you out, how are you going to run with the horses that just wait for you? The horses of broken hearts, broken families, death, hopelessness, doubt, unbelief, spiritual laziness." My friends, here's the question for you today. Are you ready to run with horses? There is no guarantee that the race course will be smooth and easy. Most likely, the race course of our life as God's children will have rocks and thorns, mountains and valleys, sun, and believe it or not, in this area, lots of rain. But child of God, servant of God, God calls us to keep running. We are to keep running. Are you tired from the run yet? Are you ready for an aid station with some refreshment and encouragement? Do you want to hear some wonderful news? Some news that we all know, but we can easily forget when we're on the run. Here's the good news. We do not run alone. Take just a moment, please, and look around at the people next to you, will you? Take a look around. The people behind you, people in front of you, and this will actually get some people to actually... Okay, take a look. See that good-looking Bev Sampert, Stephen Gettle? Yeah. Okay. My friends, look around at the wonderful people, first of all, in this congregation. We do not run alone. How many times have I had people come to my office and say, "Pastor, I'm lonely, and I'm unsure about my future, not what to do. Where do I turn?" I would remind them that God in His kindness for all of us have put us in a congregation of family where we love and support and care for each other and lift each other up. We do not run alone. Marlene Wallace, you do not run alone. Your literally beloved Saint Rusty has gone before you, but you don't run alone. My dear, we love you and we're running with you. That word is for all of us here. We do not run alone. We do not run alone. Some years ago, I was in rigorous training for a marathon race in Seattle. The race was called the Good News Game, sponsored by Ted Turner and the TBS broadcasting system. Oh, I had put in hours of training. Man, oh man, I was in the best shape of my life, running 100 kilometers a week in hills and valleys, getting ready for the 42-kilometer race. That's 26 miles. During these 6 months of training, I trained with a man who was a much better runner than I was. He ran with me, pulling me along when I felt like quitting. He slowed his running pace so we could run side by side. His motto was, "We are going to run this race together." The prizes for finishing this race were a beautiful large bronze medallion and a spectacular race t-shirt that could only be run if you finished the race and at a good time. These prizes were very coveted in the world of running. But one day, I bet you can't imagine this, but one day I was quite stubborn. And 1 week before the big race, I was digging weeds in a church parking lot. And I pulled my Achilles tendon. Jill knows about this, a very painful injury. Due to my own stubbornness, if I don't pull those weeds out, nobody else will. I could barely walk, let alone run, for 6 months. Then came an amazing act of sacrifice and love. I couldn't run that race I trained for, but my friend that I trained with ran the race alone. He didn't run it for himself. He finished the race in good time, and he gave me the medallion and the shirt. He earned them, don't you see? But he gave them to me. My friends, look here. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ ran the race. He didn't run it for himself. He ran it for you and me. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ ran the race for sinners like us who are crippled because of our sin and our rebellion. He did not run the race for himself, but he ran the race to the cross where he took upon himself your sins and the sins of the world, and he crossed the finish line at the empty tomb, and the glories of heaven and the victory he won, the medallion and the shirt, are given to us. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 says about this race. Let us run with endurance the race set out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, ran the race, and is set down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. My friends, let me tell you a secret I've learned in my almost 40 years of ministry and 64 years of life. We do not run alone. Did you hear me? We do not run alone. Jesus has run the race for us, and even right now is running by our side, stride by stride, whatever terrain we have to face. Jesus runs right by your side as you face those challenges at home. Jesus runs right by your side as you face those challenges at work. Jesus runs right by our side as you face the challenges at school. Jesus runs by your side as you face whatever obstacles are placed in the race course of your life. His strong presence with us now, the complete forgiveness of all of our sins, the guaranteed prize of heaven far outshine any earthly medallions and t-shirts, far outshine any earthly treasures. So by God's grace, through faith, we keep on running. We keep running no matter where and how God calls us to serve him, like the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I'm sure Jeremiah wouldn't mind if we end this sermon by quoting another prophet named Isaiah, who also had a few things to say about running. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Everybody here today, lace up your running shoes. Let's go the distance. Today is a great day for a run. With Jesus running by our side, we will, say it with me, run with horses. In the name of Jesus, amen.